This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Tonight, how are you, America? What's happening in your world? There's a lot happening in this world, isn't there? And there's a lot of conversation about it, frankly. It's not just at the pump anymore when I'm pumping up the car. No, it's beyond that. Walking the dog today, someone flagged me down to ask me what I thought of the national anthem and what I thought of what was happening, that maybe would hockey players take a knee on the ice. And all of that. I mean, so this conversation encompassed such a wide variety of who's taking a knee and how did I feel that poor Mahalo got off the leash. So you get my drift that this is a big deal to a lot of people. And I said on this show we were doing an unofficial poll as to how you felt about that. And we have all kinds of listeners from the left of left to the right of right to I don't like a label to I feel this way socially and this way politically. That's what's great about America, right? We got all kinds of people. And pretty much it's running 60-40, 60 brutal to take a knee when the anthem is being played. But some saying, hey, if somebody wants to lock arms and show unity before the anthem, as we certainly heard in the disagreements between a couple of different callers and also through the miracle of email, that most people felt there was a difference there. There was a difference in showing unity with people, with different kinds of people, but not standing for the anthem. And I said this. I mean, listen, once this whole thing started happening, this is far from over. I mean, this discussion is far from over. And it's really been ignited in the NFL market. So there's a Pittsburgh store, for example, selling Steelers gear that they're seeing the anger that's pouring out, that there are the store saying that, you know, because of the Steelers deciding they weren't even going to go out on the field, they were just going to, hey, we're not going to do anything about it, that there are fans that are burning their gear, they're burning their shirts, they're saying they don't want anything to do with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So it backfired on them with some fans. And you had, for example, the fact that the NFL, which is the cha-ching factor in sports, a huge factor, the National Football League is the highest rated sport, really, barring maybe some Olympic events here and there. But let's just say it's huge. It's a cash cow. And through 3 weeks, viewership for the NFL is down 11%. These are Nielsen ratings compared to 2016. So let me break it down a little bit for you. The games averaged 17.63 million viewers for the first 3 weeks of last season, and they've dipped to 15.65 million this year. The figures don't include many of the Sunday afternoon games that are shown to a more regional audience, not a national one. But it'll be interesting to see what happens in this fourth week now after what we just saw coming off of the other week. So, for example, you know, even if you look at what's happened with MSNBC and CNN and Fox, Sean Hannity is now in a time slot directly competing with MSNBC's Rachel Maddow. Nielsen is saying Hannity had 3.27 million viewers, and that was Monday, compared to 2.66 for Maddow. CNN, at the same time, had 1.45 million. So it's interesting to keep a close eye on the numbers. You know, I say it, that's why I do a special segment. It is all about the numbers. And absolutely, in television, it's about the numbers, because that is how the advertising rates are absolutely set. Take any, not take any, turning your back on sports, or some sports anyway, or some particular teams. Got tons of emails. Here's one. I'm just going to throw it out at the top. One from Scotty. He says, Kate, I love the NFL. It just burns my hide when I see people not standing for the anthem, meaning the clowns that are getting paid millions of dollars. I do think they could lock arms and kneel before that. I disagree with Izzy, who I like, who called your show last night and said that was just wrong and went off on that. I think doing it beforehand did make a difference, and obviously they're trying to figure out politically what to do, but I would stand by what the Cowboys did. I think that was much better than what the Pittsburgh Steelers decided to do. And then I'll just throw this one in quickly at the top. And I got this one from Jed, who says, I think this is America, like you've said, Kate, and if people want to protest, they should protest how they want to protest. How in the world do we ever tolerate people burning flags, for goodness sake? And we're not even talking about burning flags. We're talking about somebody simply taking a knee because they refuse to participate in the anthem, not because it's so much anti-anthem, because it's a bigger stage to say, listen, we need to do something about some of the horrendous situations that are going on across America when it comes to race relations, and we are better than that. But here's the thing. Now it hasn't become that. Are we saying that this is working, and are we having these discussions? So it's become more about the thing, and that's ultimately where the focus is. It's not about, okay, wow, okay, we drew attention to this, now we're going to see what happens with it. No, it's become something much different than that. It's gone in a much different direction. Okay, you can always throw in your 2 cents. You can jam on the digits, 855-266-2283, 855-266-KATE, or hit me up on americatonight.net, click on contact, bada bing, and you are in just like that. All right, how about this? I'm going to swing into something different because you don't often hear about this. Notice how, speaking of police, I have some family members that are police officers, and I've talked to them about this before. You know, they usually don't talk too much about bank robberies unless you can't help but talk about it because it's covered and it's a huge robbery or people are talking about it. But there's a story about an armed woman trying to rob 4 Manhattan banks in 40 minutes. Yeah, made off with some coin. This happened on Tuesday, right before noon. Hit one bank, passed a note demanding cash, didn't get any. Then she showed up at another one, had a note, didn't pass the teller. Then she passed a note to a teller at another bank, didn't get any cash. So apparently really struggling with this. Calmly left the bank without any cash the last time, did it 4 different times. And this was a woman, apparently, who they describe as wearing a red wig under a black hat. She finally made off with an undetermined amount of cash before noon at a Chase Bank on 71st West 23rd. She left a note at the bank. So how about that? Wearing a gray hooded sweatshirt with the word London on it, a black NY cap. Claimed to have a gun, didn't show it, but she did get away that very extra last time. So, I don't know, 4.5 times is the charm. Pretty rare, though, that you hear any of those descriptions and hear that this was happening here and then move there and then move there. I think they were really trying to alert banks as quick as they could to what was going on. Stay with us. Much more coming your way as we hop the fence here on ATN.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American incontinent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextracts.com. Heart and Body Extracts, 866-295-5305 or hbextracts.com.
You want to save money in a place that gives you growth, control, and certainty without stock market risk or tax risk, and you want guarantees, and you want it all tax-free. That's a tall order. But you can get all of that with properly designed participating whole life insurance. Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But you can have tax-free access to use your life insurance while you're alive. Get the free book to find out how. Call 702-660-7000.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
North Korea openly threatens the U.S. and launches a new missile every other week. Their warhead of choice? Electromagnetic pulse. Such an event would cripple the U.S. power grid for years and leave millions in the dark. Are you ready? You can be with a Solark EMP-hardened solar generator. Solark works day in and day out to keep your essentials protected. You can have peace of mind knowing your power will be there when you most need it. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to see EMP testing. That's PortableSolarLLC.com. Energy insurance for your family.
Over the weekend, I had a long discussion as we kind of veer into something different for a second that affects all of us at some point, unless you're a teetotaler, so you don't drink at all. And maybe because we're heading into the holidays here eventually. And so you have a few glasses of scotch, maybe you partake in a beer or two. And somebody I know was telling me these. You forget because you're not a teen, you know, you're not a college person anymore, or you're not out in your young 20s out in the working world and perhaps grabbing a drink or two with your crew. So you forget what to do when you have a hangover. Does anyone else out there have that problem? It's like a stampede in your head. You know, the next day you wake up and think, well, I didn't even have that much to drink. I mean, I don't drink that much. I hardly ever have any drinks.
Oh, can you hear the stampede? It's in my head.
Yeah, it's brutal. Have you had that stampede in your head ever?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been pretty bad, especially in my college years.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. See, college years, that's what happens. You know, you do. You just do. You end up out somewhere, and people are playing quarters or doing whatever, and you think it's all good, and the next day you wake up, and it's like, whoa. And that's Andy, by the way, our technical director from the Me group, by the way. You can always check that out. So for you, what do you do if you get that hangover feeling?
I've heard of a couple different things to do. One of them being eating greasy food. A lot of people say that greasy food will help with a hangover. I think that that's more of just a comfort food thing. It does make you feel better, but it doesn't actually help the hangover. What about with you? Is the greasy food ever help?
Yeah, well, in college, we used to go to Big Boys. You know those restaurants, the big boy restaurants? Because I didn't eat that. We didn't eat that kind of food that much. But the big boy restaurants were, you know, the greasy food, like you're saying, the fast food. And that's what we would do after a night out, you know, when it was like a Saturday night or whatever. And so that was, I guess, the hangover cure. I've heard of some healthy ones, like some people say the green juice smoothies are really good for you.
Oh, yeah.
Or cactus extract is good for you.
I've heard of that kind of stuff, or just a Gatorade.
Yeah, because if you feel nauseous or whatever it is, or dehydrated.
Yeah, you know, I think that is the big culprit for hangovers is the sugar in the drinks dehydrate. Yeah, and then you wake up the next morning and you're just dehydrated. Like, have you ever been dehydrated while you're awake and you get that kind of headache, dizzy feeling?
I hate that feeling.
Yeah.
It's the worst feeling. I mean, that's why, you know, we used to have Dr. Ben on Ben Fuchs on all the time, and he would always talk about, you know, it's so simple, but if you just drink water, and water, you lose weight and be dehydrated. But it's so true. Most of us don't drink enough water anyway.
That's true, yeah.
So that's why some people say before you go out, you should drink a bunch of water, too.
Yeah, and or like switch it. So like for every drink, maybe have a glass of water. That seems like a lot of thought going into that, you know.
It seems like you'd be going to the restroom a lot. Excuse me, I got to go to the restroom again. Oh, excuse me, can you move over? And there's a band playing. Excuse me, can I cut through the middle of this, of all of you screaming and waving your hands while I go to the restroom again another time?
Well, I think if I was actually getting dehydrated from these drinks, that, you know, then maybe I wouldn't. Maybe it would level. But you're probably right.
I don't know. It's interesting. Here's one thing I would say, and I think more people are catching on to this. The life that we live now for any of us, I mean, I don't care how old you are listening to me, and, you know, especially maybe you don't really partake that much. And now here it's, like I said, the holidays, and it could only be a couple of drinks. But one thing I would say is do not drink and drive. For goodness sake, we have Uber. We have a million ways to get from A to B. You don't want to be in that situation. Hungover, not feeling right, that's one thing. You can deal with that the next day. But, oh, my gosh. Do your friends, because you fall into that millennial category, do your friends watch out for each other for, you know, driving someone home or making sure they don't drive?
They try to, but it's really hard to talk sense into somebody that's drunk. I'd say that
the best
solution is to plan for it. So, like, if you know you're going to go to a bar and be drinking, you know, don't drive there. Maybe cab to the bar, so you don't even have the option.
Right, I agree. Then you don't get into that situation, because let's be real. Nobody wants to see their friends in a terrible, horrible situation anyway, and nobody wants to get in some kind of wreck. Nobody wants to do that to someone else's life. It's just that you don't. And again, it doesn't necessarily have to be a lot of liquor, because maybe you're not really a drinker, but it's the holidays, and you have a few drinks, and that few drinks is different for every person.
It really doesn't take that much to be over the limit. In Minnesota, it's 0.08, which is
0.08.
crazy low. I think in South Dakota, it's 0.10. What is it in California?
I want to say
or
it's
Texas, I mean.
0.08. I want to say it's 0.08.
That's like four drinks, I think.
Right. It depends on, think about how long you might be someplace.
Yeah, yeah.
It depends on how long you are, wherever you are.
That's why you got to have that water, you know, back and forth.
Drink
you know?
That water. So obviously that's our cure. Is sometimes they say the what do they call it, the hair of the beast? You drink like a Bloody Mary or something, and that takes it away.
You know, a lot of people will do that on Sunday mornings. They'll go watch the game and all have some Bloody Marys and hair of the dog that bit you.
Yeah, hair of the dog. Hair of the dog, that's it, yeah.
Otherwise,
I'm sure people are finding this fascinating, thinking, oh, boy, that makes me really want to go and drink.
I saw this thing on Facebook the other day. Some doctor that was high up in, I think, like Tesla or something, or he's an engineer, went home to, I think, South Korea and found some, like, ancient remedy that you can drink that'll cure your hangover. I don't know if I believe it, but I went on Amazon and I looked it up, and there's a bunch of different doctors that claim that there's, like, a formula.
Wow.
So I don't know.
Really?
I find that kind of hard to believe, don't you?
I do, too. Yeah. I find it hard to believe, too. We'll have to see if we can fact check that. see how far we get. We'll see if we can do that. I like that idea. All right, Andy, thank you.
You're welcome, Kate.
So when we're not talking about hangovers, some of you understand what Twitter is, especially because the president communicates that way. Twitter saying that it's testing tweets as long as 280 characters, double the previous of 140, but the feature's only available to a select few at the moment. It's not even available in Japanese, Chinese, and Korean. So they're just trying it out because people are verbose and they're thinking they should expand it. I say keep it at 140 and let people have to be more concise in their language, whatever it is that they're trying to communicate. In one way, I think that's good. All right, how about this? Credit reporting agency Equifax is ousting their CEO, Richard Smith, because of this ridiculous mess of the data breach that exposed information about 143 million Americans. They announced Tuesday, because they disclosed that the hackers exploited a software flaw that the company didn't fix to heist social security numbers, birth dates, and other personal info that provided the keys to identify theft. So how about that? He has been the CEO since 2005. So they're conducting a permanent search for, they're conducting a search for a permanent CEO, and they're considering internal and external people. Ooh, boy, oh, boy. That was a long time to hold that gig. And once the breach happened, phew, that was it. You're not surprised. There has to be somebody that answers for that, because it's really tanking them big, big time. Oh, yeah. There's no way around that. Mm-mm. No way. All right, so as we kind of move and groove in different directions, just a reminder, on Thursday, yes, it's true, we will be back with Nail the Score. Yes, it's true, Nail the Score in our first hour of our Thursday and Friday show. Last segment of that hour for all of you fans that keep asking me about that. Forbes Books at Bedtime coming up next here on America Tonight.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Kiyosaki, Rogers, and Schiff all concur there's an economic calamity that'll be facing this country. My question to you is, do you know when and are you prepared? Most people don't, but my friends over at Republic Monetary Exchange have been leading experts in precious metals to help you offset the coming economic collapse. Right now, for a limited time, they have a free book called The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. You simply need to give them a call at 888-772-2929 to get that in your hands. Do not allow the insiders to do what they did to you in 2008, putting your IRAs, 401ks, and savings in jeopardy. You need this book, and you need it now. The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. Call 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. There's a reason that the largest investment banking company in the world, J.P. Morgan, just purchased another 50 million ounces of silver. This free book will explain it. 888-772-2929. Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Joining us now on the show is David Knorr. He's the author of Relationship Economics and many other books, tons of other books. Such an interesting background. In fact, Greg, I was looking at some of the brands that he's worked with, brands that I've had the chance to speak to some of these groups, and they're great, like Deloitte, Cisco Systems, Disney, Hilton, HP, IBM, and so much more. So, David, thanks so much for coming on the show. You're the author of Relationship Economics, like we said, and as soon as I say that word, I think, what do you mean by relationship economics?
It's good to be with you, and yeah, it's been a passion of mine for the last 2 decades.
Wow, that's a long time. So, what when people hear the term relationship economics, I'm assuming, like us, they ask you, "What do you mean by that?" And if you're at a cocktail party, how do you answer that?
So my crusade, if you will, has been to really help people understand that relationships are more than a quote-unquote the soft skill. For years, we've proven that they can be intentional, they should be strategic, and they can be quantifiable. And in my research, I found really two camps, right? The art of relationships, how to get a business card or give a card or how to quote-unquote work a room, and the traditional networking, which, by the way, I remind people it's one letter away from not working. Right. And then separately, the science of relationships, which is actually called social network analysis. It has nothing to do with Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn. It's studying patterns in human interaction. Fascinating, but it puts most people to sleep. So I was.
Yeah, by the way, if you put people to sleep here, we're not going to be very happy.
No, understood. So I was fortunate enough to put them together. So I talk about the art and science of relationships. It is more than just a soft skill. it can be a huge enabler of you trying to get things done in business.
So I have a question for you, because anytime a conversation turns towards the idea of networking, I have this suspicion, and it might be exactly what you've been studying for 20 years, but I have the suspicion that some people are networkers purely out of self-interest, and that at the end, that's not very effective. And there are others who are networkers because they have all kinds of motives and interests, including their own, but also the interests of others around them. Is that part of what you're talking about, of being intentional, strategic, and quantifiable?
Very much so. You're exactly right. And unfortunately, I say to folks, a lot of people confuse vibration with forward motion, right? And the first chapter of Relationship Economics is the top 10 reasons most networking doesn't work. And a big part of that is there's no plan, there's no purpose, there's no goal. So, and Adam Grant at Wharton wrote the book, Give Us and Takers, and he talks about the same thing is, we found a couple different camps, people that are me-centric. Forget you for a second. It's all about me. And the only reason I've been talking to you is because I want something. I'm not sure how far that will get you. And then there's other-centric, which is people that are very, they're very euphoric from just giving. They love to give, and God bless them. They're like Mother Teresa. The balanced approach is what I call relationship investors. These are people who understand this idea of relationship currency. Over time, they're really focused on building their reputation capital. And just like how we have a personal net worth, they also understand conceptually the idea of a professional net worth of your relationship assets and your relationship liabilities.
So how do you start becoming a relationship investor if people are hearing this for the first time? That you put it, how do you do that? Because as you know and you describe so well, there's all these networking groups and meetups and whatnot, and I think people throw cards at each other and that's it. They just collect cards even still.
Yeah, let me give you and your listeners just three basic ideas. Number one, relationships don't make sense by themselves, right? Nobody builds a relationship because they're bored, right? It's an enabler of something we're trying to do. So get crystal clear on what's the desired outcome, right? Why are you trying to build these relationships? So having a goal, having a lighthouse that you work toward is critical. And being transparent with that, listen, I'm trying to grow this territory, or I'm trying to launch this product, or I'm trying to get this project done. Being transparent with that just kind of paves the way for people to see you as more authentic.
Why is that transparency so hard for so many people? They think that they have to ask, that they're going to ask for the thing they want, but they'll never actually come out and say what they want, and that just makes people feel skeevy.
Right? I would submit that we all have a BS radar, right? We all see it a mile away, right? And everybody sees it. So if you come out with, hey, listen, here's what I'm trying to do, and I'd love to, so I'm going to get to the other two points quickly, but if you're transparent early on, you kind of disarm people with that authenticity, right? Everybody knows, or everybody has the perception that you have an agenda.
It's called being honest.
Right? Here's what I'm trying to do. It just, again, disarms people with, this is not a BSer. This is not somebody who's going to try to pull a fast one, right? So number one, be succinct about your desired outcome. What are you trying to do? Number two, listen louder. Listen louder. My favorite one-hour visit with somebody is when 15 minutes of it is about them.
Hmm.
And by the way, you want better answers? Ask better questions, right? So tell me what your priorities are. Tell me what your challenges are. Tell me, really put your mindset in that notion of seekers and solvers. What are they trying to do? How can you be an asset? And a relationship investor fundamentally understands, and this is my third point, if you start by giving, if you start by investing, and I talk about reciprocate first, if you start by investing in others, those who get it will not only say thank you, not only ask, that's very kind of you, what can I do to help you, but they'll also find ways to help others. And if they don't, that's when your yellow flag should go up. That's when you should be concerned about, do they fundamentally understand that they're in the people business?
Wow. And so important, right, for companies to be in the people business. And a lot of companies ignore maybe the value of relationship economics, huh?
That's exactly right. And my most recent book, Co-Create, builds on that notion that you cannot succeed in the future going at it alone. None of us are the smartest person in the room. I have a mentor who says if you are, you're in the wrong room. And how will you evolve as an individual, as a team, as an organization? Through a few, but really more meaningful, more real, more impactful, more strategic relationships who are going to help you think very differently about your business model, about your revenue model, about your personal and professional growth.
We're talking with David Knorr. He's the author of the book Relationship Economics and many other books. His website is norrgroup.com. It's N-O-U-R-G-R-O-U-P.com. You know, it's interesting, David, as you're talking about this whole idea of as your book title says, relationship economics, one of the things I'm thinking about is how, on one hand, it seems like technology and social media has changed this economic system, but I have a feeling you're going to tell us it hasn't changed it at all.
Yeah, technology is, and again, I've been blessed by technology. One of my first jobs at IBM and subsequently Silicon Graphics, and I've worked for a number of software technology companies. I spent most of my early career in tech companies. So technology, I've found, is an incredible enabler of you nurturing that relationship. But, Greg, it'll never replace, so certainly I haven't found a model where it replaces you and I meeting face-to-face and shaking hands and looking each other in the eye and really investing the time and effort in getting to know the needs, the wants, the aspirations, the desires of the other person. Now, LinkedIn is a great place for you and I to stay in touch, and you can see my articles, you can see kind of what I'm doing and what I'm focused on, and Twitter is a good way to kind of get updates on things, and Instagram, you can visually see kind of what I'm up to, but it's amazing, even at the enterprise level, how many companies forget relationships in their customer relationship management or their CRM system. So unfortunately, again, when I said earlier, people confuse vibration with forward motion. They're confusing transactional nature of networking and contacts with transformational impacts of relationships.
Yeah. You talk about, when you talk about the Hollywood talent model, what is that?
Yeah, in Co-Create, we did a ton of research, and we found that by 2020, which isn't that far away, over 50% of the workforce are going to be contract laborers. So in essence, the gig economy. And if you think about it a second, back in the 40s and 50s, almost everybody involved with a movie worked for the studio. Well, that's just not the case today. Very few actually work for the studio. The studio, buys a screenplay, hires a producer who then hires a director and on-camera talent all the way off to, the off-camera talent. And they'll work together over a couple years around a common vision, right? But when that project is done, the only guarantee they have of the next project is both the quality of their work and the breadth and depth of their relationships. And I would submit that model is going to continue to proliferate through our companies where, you remember our parents working for 50 years to collect a watch? Those days are long gone. So the only guarantee you have in job security is the perceived value you bring to people who are trying to accomplish that vision, that outcome. So the Hollywood talent model, and you're starting to see it more. Contract labor, more projects, more initiatives that include both traditional employees, but a lot of folks that really don't necessarily work for the company.
Yeah, wow, so interesting. David Knorr, thanks so much for joining us here on Forbes Books at Bedtime.
My pleasure.
Are you tired of paying fees and commissions to that other site? I know you are. And I'm here to tell you about a great alternative to sell your stuff. BuySellMakeOffer.com is the best-selling site to ever come along. It doesn't matter what you're selling, big or small, it's easier than ever. And you can use Skype to show your items and get to know your potential buyer. And they can see that you are for real. No more blind trust. And you're not limited to snapshots. You can video what you're selling to better sell it fast. For as little as $9.95, and that's after a free 30 days, you can sell everything you no longer want with absolutely no fees, ever. Go right now to buysellmakeoffer.com and become part of a community of buyers and sellers who have already discovered this revolutionary way of getting it sold online. That's buysellmakeoffer.com. You'll never regret making the switch. Buysellmakeoffer.com. So, what are you waiting for?
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Use discount code GCN and receive 15% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter and get your Bug Assault today.
I'll tell you what, so many of you that listen to the show have called me with your frustrations talking about the lack of jobs, the skill sets you have, especially when it comes to manufacturing and steel in particular. Many, many of our great affiliates fall into those regions where you're counting on those jobs and you're questioning what's happening around the country. I'm so thrilled to be joined by right now Scott Paul, who is the president of the Alliance of American Manufacturing. And he knows all about that because they dive very, very deep. He does a terrific podcast. I would suggest you definitely tune into that, the Manufacturing Report. And I'll tell you what, Scott, it's nice to have you on the show, but I feel the frustration of so many of my listeners who have children who wanted to go and follow into the footsteps of their fathers and their grandfathers and feel like they can't because the jobs aren't there. What in the world is happening? I thought we were working on infrastructure in this country and there'd be more jobs.
Hey, Kate, first of all, it's great to be with you and right back to you. I really respect your show and what you do. And you're right. I mean, here's the challenge, I think. You know, we're in a time where there's relatively low unemployment. The stock market is doing well. And yet you have a lot of communities where it is hard to find a good job. I was just in a little wedge of Wisconsin where there were a couple of thousand people that showed up for a job fair that one of those Amazon fulfillment centers that was having, and you can't make a career out of that. The kind of blue collar skilled jobs where you could achieve a middle class lifestyle, you know, save for your retirement, buy a home, buy an automobile. They're hard to find. They really are, but we can have a future in it. I mean, you know, the steel mills, the auto factories of our parents and our grandparents' age, you're right. Those are a thing of the past, but there is also a bright future for people who want to go into manufacturing, if we have the right policies, and this gets to your point about infrastructure and all of this. I mean, we still live in a physical world, and you just think, you know, you just look around right now and you see all the steel in your life that you don't even realize. So there's going to be a demand for things like steel, but are we going to have the policies that are going to allow us to be competitive in the global marketplace and also make sure that there's a level playing field, and that other nations are playing by the rules as well, so that we give our young people an opportunity to enter a really good career.
I know you dive deep into this and talk to a lot of people like I do in Washington. And what is the feeling that you're getting? It's great. I love that you use the word level playing field, because it's not really level right now.
Yeah, and this is something that if you dial back to last year, Bernie Sanders was talking about on the Democratic side, Donald Trump was talking about the Republican side. It really had some resonance with a lot of different voters out there. This idea that our trade policies haven't worked, that there is a better way to do this, and I see it too. And so, you know, the president, you know, won Pennsylvania and Ohio and Michigan, and that kind of a trade message really resonates there with those steel workers and those auto workers. And what we've seen are a lot of kind of trains leave the station in terms of policy, like lots of ideas that have been generated or promises that have been made. But I'm very sad to report that, you know, none of them have arrived at their destination. They seem to have been sidetracked. We're back to the same framework where it's hard to get anything done in Washington, D.C. There's been some resistance to things that the president is trying to do, even when there's some industrial state Democrats that want to do the same thing. And so we really haven't seen a lot of things that the president has been able to deliver on this. And I think, you know, part of it is where his focus is, but part of it is there's also this resistance in Washington, D.C. for changing the status quo.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you there on the status quo. And we're speaking with Scott Paul, President of Alliance for American Manufacturing. And if we go back to our dates, and I'm really good, Scott, at keeping dates, I got this big notebook so I can keep up with policies. And you're absolutely right. One of the things that was talked about during the campaigns, as you're saying, is what was going on, certainly in the industry and with manufacturing, and keeping it in America and made in America. I do a segment on my show called Made in America, and we dig deep trying to find people who are doing it right here. Now, the exciting thing is, you know that too, and there are, and I know you explore this, the companies that are here that are keeping it in America. And of all the people and all the places that you've gone and people that you've talked to, what gets you really juiced and excited about what you're doing?
Oh, look, that's a great question. I am so glad you asked that, because I think there's a couple of things. First of all, there's this misimpression that people have that, if you're working in a factory, it's because you got stuck there and you're not happy with your job and you'd much rather be doing something else. And everywhere I go, and no matter what kind of a factory it is, you know, the men and women that I talk to are thrilled to have their job. They see it being something tangible. They're working with their hands and with their minds. They see a product at the end of the day, and it's actually very satisfying work. And then I think the second thing, and you're right about this, is that there's so many people who say, well, you can't make this, you can't make that, you can't find this in the United States of America anymore. And so I love the entrepreneurs who are investing in all sorts of new things. And you just think about, and I'll think this is something that everybody buys, like, you know, footwear or apparel. And most of it is imported. You know, almost all of it went overseas. And yet you see these folks who have said, well, I'm going to make it in America, and they've done it quite successfully, from amazing sweatshirts that American Giant does to flip-flops that a company like Okabashi does, or there's a sock company in Alabama. I mean you cover these too, and when we do on our blog, I mean, there's an almost an unlimited array of folks who are doing things. The only thing where I find we're falling short still is electronics and smartphones, and that's why I always remind Tim Cook that if he wanted to, he could do it in the United States of America.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If he wanted to, because when you look at the dollars and cents of it, I still say, Scott, that economically you can make it feasible for these companies, and it gets back to what we first started talking about, the incentives and bringing that back into the United States instead of tossing it overseas, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's a combination. People always ask me, well, what's the one thing that would make manufacturing more competitive? Mm. And so if they ask it like that, I say, look, we need a strategy. You know, every state, every locality has a strategy to try to attract manufacturing jobs. I mean, you see when a company announces it wants to produce in the United States, all these states and localities get involved and say, well, come here, come here. But as a nation, we also need a strategy. And that doesn't mean picking winners and losers, but it does mean things like investing in our infrastructure. That makes our logistics more efficient. Investing in the skills and training of men and women who won't necessarily be getting a four-year college degree, but who do have skills or who want skills and can put them to work in a modern 21st century factory. It means a level playing field on trade and a trade policy that is not focused on a philosophy. You know, the Ricardo and Smith are nice in a textbook, but look at the real world and see what's going on and see what we have to do. And also to promote research and development that's made in the United States. We invent a lot of amazing things, and then they end up getting made in China. And so, you know, if we tie all of those things together and also have a more competitive tax code, look, I think that we can compete with anybody. I mean, we have the know-how. We are a manufacturing country, and we've been that for the better part of two centuries. And there's no reason why we can't do this if we have the right kind of public policies that are going to support it.
Absolutely, I agree. Hey, last one. So saving the steel jobs, what can the people, the millions of people do that are listening to you and I speak right now? What can they do if they're hearing this and their blood is boiling and they want to help people that are in the field?
Well, look, we're reminding the president of his promise and to stick to it, even to work through this Washington morass. And so if you go to AmericanManufacturing.org, we have a petition that we're sending to the White House. And, you know, we draw supporters from both parties, from every state. And it's like we do have to stand up for our steelworkers because they are the core of our manufacturing base. And they're the men and women who make the product that go into our battleships, our armored personnel carriers, our critical infrastructure, all of this we're going to have a big need for in the future, but they need that level playing field, and we want the president to follow through on his promise to provide that level playing field on steel.
All right, I'm urging all the listeners of America Tonight, go sign that petition, AmericanManufacturing.org, as Scott said. Scott Paul, president of the Alliance for American Manufacturing, thanks so much for joining us on ATN.
Kate, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.